Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's that time again, folks. Time for the world-famous motion picture Retribution Power Hour, presented to you by the illustrious Evening Brothers. Take it away, band.
Welcome, everybody, to MPRPH, the Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. I am your host, Brother Lincoln.
I am your additional host, Brother John.
I am the assistant to the hosts, Brother Preston.
Since we haven't done this in a second, I want to just take a second and say, for those who are new, which is probably no one, Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour is the first and only podcast held by three white guys, or really any white guys, about movies, and we make each other watch bad movies, and that's the podcast. Lincoln, what did you do to us today?
Oh, boy. Okay. I made you watch the 2006 movie... No, sorry, 2005. Excuse me. Please. Doom, starring Carl Urban, even though I am convinced he does not believe that he is starring in this movie.
No.
Co-starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who I am 100% sure was told that he was the protagonist of this movie.
Absolutely.
I am so glad that I wasn't the only one where the protagonist already, switches halfway through the movie.
Oh, so confusing.
So confusing.
There are like three times that this movie's like, oh, you thought you were watching this movie? No, fuck you. You're watching a different movie, bitch.
No, I'm excited. I think there's three distinct movies that I want to talk about. And so, it also has Rosamund Pike.
It does.
That's her name, right?
Yeah.
Who is in Die Another Day.
Yeah, which is maybe how we need to do this podcast now. We need to, like, kind of hinge into other things on something.
Yeah, only watch movies with Rosamund Pike in it from now on.
Exclusively Rosamund Pike movies. We're going to watch Gone Girl and
Die Another Day again. And Doom.
And Doom again. We're just, it's the Doom cast is what we're doing.
The Doom cast.
There's two other Doom sequels. Did you know that?
There's two?
I think so. There's a direct-to-video one.
If you count spiritual sequels and spiritual prequels, I think there's like eight of them, because this is a Resident Evil movie.
It definitely is a Resident Evil. It's also kind of an alien movie, but we'll get to it.
It is kind of an alien movie.
It's very much an alien movie. There's aliens. You're welcome.
Of course it's an alien genre. I clearly noticed there were some aliens in it.
Lincoln, I'm trying to contribute here to this podcast.
And we love you so much. Preston, the thing is, if you contribute to this podcast, you got to be okay with a little good-natured ribbing. Ask Jonathan about it. He should know, being in prison and all, about some good-natured ribbing.
Thanks. I like the idea that we're not going to provide no context for that. No context needed.
Yeah, or requested.
Mm, yeah.
So anyways, I want to get the summary out of the way as soon as possible, because there is so much that I want to tell you about with this movie and ask you about.
Yeah, well, good, because the summary is going to be, I think, pretty quick.
Yeah, it'll be pretty quick. So the movie is basically three distinct films. The first one is a group of Marines are called to evacuate and rescue a bunch of people who are stranded at a, like, corporate installation. It's very Jurassic Park sequel kind of mission. It's a very Aliens kind of mission. You know, Aliens, the movie, the James Cameron directed movie, where they're in over their heads.
Genre? It's kind of got...
Yes.
Lincoln,
yes.
Now, did you notice that there were some aliens in this movie? Because I picked up on that subtext.
Yes, the very subtle idea that there's aliens.
Yeah.
So that's movie number one. Uh-huh. Movie number one is the Marines going there. They're way over their heads, and they're slowly learning that there's this dark force that's picking them off one by one.
Yeah.
The Marines get there. They patrol the area. They walk up and down the same hallway for literally 25 minutes. The same single hallway. They just walk up it and check the room, and then walk the other way and check it. Walk up,
they do.
Check, walk the other way and check. And after clearing the rooms six times each, the rooms aren't clear. They're getting picked off one by one. Then movie number two starts. And movie number two is when they movie number two is probably when they go to the sewers the first time. And they realize that the bad guy is actually turning them into demons and monsters. The evil force is turning people into grotesque alien creatures that seek out blood. And that's movie number two. So the funny thing is, it's Aliens and then Alien.
You're not wrong.
No, that's exactly what it is.
And they slowly learn that the big corporation, just like in every Alien movie or Avatar or Jurassic Park, the big corporation wants to protect their intellectual property and they're willing to let people die for it.
Or Resident Evil.
Or the Suicide okay. Squad.
And then they all decide to band together. Kind of. Suicide Squad.
Thank you. Thank you.
So then all the remaining Marines decide to band together and fight together to save everyone and expose the company's dangerous, unsafe practices, is how you would think the movie would hit their third act. But that's not what they do.
No.
One of the Marines is like, no, I'm on the side of the corporation, and becomes the antagonist, whereas Carl, and that's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and Carl Urban rises, gets promoted to protagonist, and makes his way into movie number three.
Which is an actual... I think movie number three
rips ass. It's so good.
Oh, it kicks so much ass, and I think that is when they remembered, oh yeah, we're making a Doom movie. I forgot that we were making a movie based on Doom. That's when they were like, oh right.
They remembered that they had actually laid groundwork for this. So the twist, in quotes, is that the reason these people are turning into monsters is that the corporation is trying to genetically enhance humans, and some humans, it gives them supernatural abilities and turns them into Wolverine, and some, it turns them into monsters.
Which I would argue are also supernatural abilities.
Yeah, supernatural, but I'm saying people, you know, it turns them into completely just anger-filled, you know, I can't think of any adjectives
like a Wolverine.
Like an actual Wolverine in real life.
Yeah, like the animal Wolverine.
Like a Wolverine, not the Wolverine. Yeah. So, yeah, movie number three starts, and Carl Urban is given the secret genetic enhancement because he has to defeat Dwayne The Rock Johnson. A first-person sequence starts, and then movie number three happens. Okay, so I want to just... The biggest thing that I want to talk about is the fact that movie number three, I unironically 100% enjoyed.
Lincoln, I'm going to go on a further limb than you. I kind of liked this whole thing. I kind of liked the whole movie.
You would.
Hey, John, I also enjoyed pretty much the entire thing.
Yes, what's up? Preston, tell me if you feel the same way. It's not a good movie, but god damn, is it fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It is fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun.
I think, okay, so, yeah, first thing, the third act is excellent. It's like, I think it's far and away the best part of the movie. And the scene when they're in the boss, they're doing a boss fight, and they're throwing each other up against the wall and crashing through the railings and plate glass windows and everything. And it's extremely good. An amped up WWE match. It's freaking amazing.
It's so good. It's and so Carl fun. Urban, he sells that line where The Rock is like, what are you going to shoot me? And he's like, yeah, I was thinking about it. I love his delivery so much.
It's so fun. And yeah, that whole fight scene. I walked back upstairs and... My mom goes, were you by yourself in the basement? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, you were cheering. And I was like, don't worry about it. There's some wicked ass cool stuff that happens.
It's an exciting scene. That first person scene, I went on a real journey with. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point. But I went on a real journey with that scene where it started. And I was like, oh, yeah, they're doing the Doom thing. That's interesting. And then it kept going, and I was like, okay, I think this might be kind of dumb. And then he fought the guy with the chainsaw, and I was like, never mind, this kicks so much and ass.
Then it turns around. It's like, and it's so, the effects, that's, if, maybe of any movie we've watched in this podcast history, that might be the most impressive 7 minutes of, it might be the most impressive 7 minutes of any movie I've ever watched. Like, it's so well done.
It really is. And you can tell that they saved the effects for that sequence. Everything else is practical. Mm-hmm. everything, which I think makes those scenes better, you know, where they're in the sewer and there's like a weird monster. They do as much as they can practical in this movie, which I can't believe I'm praising the Doom movie because everyone hates it.
It's really, I think our specific brand of podcast, there's two things that a movie cannot be when we watch it. And one, it cannot be well constructed. Like, we've never watched a movie that were, I think maybe Lost City is the only one that's been like, oh, this actually has a dramatic arc that makes sense. That's the only one.
Yeah.
But the other thing that it simply cannot be is boring. And this movie is not well constructed, and it is the opposite of boring.
It's so interesting all the time.
So yeah, third act is amazing. I kind of want to, let's kind of shift back to the beginning for some initial things. I just have opinions that now that I know how you feel, we can confirm with each other.
Yeah, it's a safe space.
Isn't it so, is it so fucking refreshing to see The Rock playing a character?
He's just being a guy. He's not The Rock. He's a human man.
He's a human man.
I love it. I wish he did
looks
this
like
more
a
often.
Regular person. Yeah, and he can act. Who knew?
He can act. He can be a complete full-blown dickhead later in the movie, but he can be just kind of a guy who's got some goals, got some thoughts. Like, also, he says fuck. This is the first time I've ever seen The Rock and thought, yeah, that guy might actually like have sex with someone. I've never, all of his movies, it's always like, wow, that is one amorphous being. That's incredible. Wow, what a sex-free man.
What a sex, The Rock, a sex-free man. That was, you know, when he was in WWE, that was his motto. It said, The Rock, the most electrifying and least sexual man in entertainment.
Yeah, I think it was his tagline. Wasn't he like, you can smell what The Rock is cooking, but you can't smell what he's doing because it's nothing. Because he's not doing anything.
Because it's nothing. I'm sitting with my hands neatly behind my back.
Neatly
fully clothed.
In a bag of Cheez-Its.
I'm going to dig into those later. Don't worry about it. I think I would be more disgusted if I saw The Rock eat a box of Cheez-Its than if I saw him having sex.
You know that he would just mainline those too. Like, it wouldn't be one by one. He would just open his fucking gullet and throw the whole bag, box and all.
He's like straightening out the corners of the bag so he could just dump it all in at once.
No, I'm saying he doesn't open the bag. He doesn't open the box. He just
he just bites right into it. Just takes a bite, cardboard just, and everything.
Unhinges his jaw. Just
yeah. Like a snake, you can see a box shape going down his giant, veiny neck.
He crushes it with his neck muscles. Anyways, The Rock is in it. You watch this kind of movie and you go, oh, I see why they're trying to get him in everything. Because he is a genuinely charismatic and fun presence in this movie.
Unlike first
and second act Carl Urban.
I think with The Rock, I think that was one of the things that really threw me off about the twist where he suddenly switches from the protagonist to the antagonist is you have to realize that, oh shit, he's actually playing a different character now and he's actually pulling it off.
Yeah, he's not just being slightly hardened to The Rock. Like, he's a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this movie doesn't, I don't want to give this movie more credit than it deserves, because it really, this is not well foreshadowed at all. I guess that's all we're going to do this whole podcast.
Oh, I'm not saying that it's a well-constructed twist at all, but just, I mean, the fact that The Rock could actually switch and actually act out both parts of that character, I think totally threw me off and is surprisingly
impressive.
Yeah,
he played not one,
but
two characters.
I wonder if that twist plays better in hindsight. Like, I wonder now, does it play better because we know The Rock as the guy that we know him as now, as Red Notice's own? Like, is that does that play better because we see him in that light?
You're saying it's like when you watch a Bruce Willis movie from the 80s and he's really acting in real life and you go, is this better now than it was then because we expect so much less out of his performance?
Kind of, but also I think it's almost further than that. It's like watching I'm trying to think what a good example is. Buried.
Well, like,
maybe?
Ryan Reynolds would be another one.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going for, is it's like watching Ryan Reynolds in a movie where he's just being a person and not being Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And before that, it's just like, oh, okay, like before when Doom came out, were we judging The Rock based on oh, he was a WWE guy, but now he's an actor. Can he act? And now we're judging it on, oh, he's a famous man who just kind of says some words and punches at nothing. And now, can he be a character that's not that?
Yeah, I think I agree. Because what people, I think those, that era, 2006, was a very cynical time. And The Rock was not a cynical presence.
Mm-mm.
He was absolutely going for it, like his career depended on it, every movie he was in during that phase.
Yeah. I'm loving the past tense on cynical. That, oh man, we used to be so cynical back in 2005. It's a good thing.
Yeah, now we're not
positive,
cynical at all.
Everything's cool now.
Just like whatever the Moana live action remake that they're going to inevitably make with The Rock.
I mean, they are
not cynical at all.
I don't know if you're being a. I don't know if you. Do
no,
you,
I know.
Do you? You know. Okay.
I know.
You said that like you were coming up with
I
it.
Know. No, I was trying to think of a name.
You're directing it.
I am direct. Yes, I am directing it.
You're also playing The Rock, which I think is cool.
Yeah, they're calling me the Pebble.
Wow, that joke fits
the boulder,
with the timing
sure.
of this movie.
Can we talk about the helicopter scene right at the beginning?
When they all like give their guns a gentle little kiss?
Oh yeah, when they introduced by character by their gun name.
It's not so much that. It's the fact that they all run into a helicopter, get geared up in the helicopter. They're all stoked. They've all, you know, we run through, we learn all their call signs, and then they get out of the helicopter running like they're going to hit the ground fighting, and then they just sort of stand in the portal chamber for a while.
Yeah, they just run into a boardroom.
It was like two different people directed each scene, where they're like, the one scene, the like helicopter scene was directed by someone who was convinced that they were going to helicopter all the way to Mars. Like, this is the Martian spaceship. It's the future. It starts out as a helicopter, then it transforms into a rocket. And everyone else is like,
that's what
I was
fully waiting for that. And it was going to be like a sick space portal. And instead,
we got
early 2000s animated water.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about the transformation sequence.
Our opinion on greasy fluid simulations from 2000s is clear. We've made our position on that clear.
So it's so good, though. What if someone hasn't listened to the other episodes, Lincoln? I need them to know. I'm horny for the weird,
rubbery,
sweaty, wet CGI. It makes me horny. It makes me hard. I like to feel it.
I love it so
much. I like
so
to look
much.
At it. I want to put it on my body. It's all extremely good.
The best part is you watch it and you can feel the pain of the graphics card that had to process it. Like, the image that I have is like,
you can smell
it's like a
smoke.
Corgi towing a F-150 is the kind of miraculous work that's being done here with the computing technology available at the time.
Well, and you could tell that they were like, I am, whoever made that, and then they went, I am fucking James Cameron himself. It's me, Jimmy C. I'm a hero.
Jimmy C.
You guys, I made it wet and weird. And they're like, okay.
I made it wet and weird. They're like, how wet and weird? You're like, way more than you think.
He's like, wetter and weirder than you wanted.
Wetter and weirder than you could possibly imagine. Come with me and you'll be in a world of fluid simulation. Anyways, find your funny. This is a little mini find your funny game that I'm adding to the pre find your funny part of this podcast.
Oh,
I'm gonna just list
into,
a bunch of names.
Into Fife.
Not yet. This is pre find your funny. Find your funny.
Oh, okay. Like I also have a pre-find your funny, find your funny, so.
Okay, I'll do mine, and then you do yours immediately afterwards.
Okay. I can't wait to lose our funny in this process.
Okay, so this game is just for Preston, because Jonathan has to focus on what he's about to do. So, I'm just going to name a bunch of names from the call signs on their guns, and some of them are real and some of them aren't, so you gotta just tell me which ones are not real.
I've got this in the bag.
Okay, ready?
I'm glad I'm not a part of this game.
And I'm only gonna read them once. This is like a memory test. Okay, ready? Mac, Goat, Fizz, Morgman, The Kid, Jimmo, Sarge, Reaper, Bisque.
Bisque is not one.
Now, I was going to say, are you guessing ones that are or aren't? God, I wish Bisque okay, was that one is of them.
One out of four that are not real.
I would and be then, so on. Horny for Bisque, the character played by Michael Cera.
I'm Bisque. Hi, everyone.
Hey, it's me. I'm Bisque. I'm here to fight. Oh, what are we doing? Are we fighting aliens? Oh, no. Okay.
There was another one. In, hang on. Run through that list again.
Nope.
Lincoln.
Okay, fine.
Can I help him with the game? Can I be step two?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Phone a friend.
You said Geronimo or something like Gizmo or something like that. I don't think that was one of them.
you're correct. Jimmo is not one.
Yeah, Jim. Okay, yeah. That was, yeah.
I know Sarge is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say Dutch? I don't think Dutch is one of them.
I did not say Dutch.
Oh, okay. Anywhere. This has gone
Sarge
good.
Is one. Reaper is definitely one.
Oh, Reaper was one. When you said Generalissimo, I don't think that was one of them. you said
time's up.
Wrong. You said Patrick from SpongeBob. I don't think that was one of them. I could be wrong about that one though.
Okay, the only other one I made up was Fizz.
Fizz.
You didn't even say that one.
Yeah, no, I did. It was the third Fizz. One I said.
My memory of Fizz.
And then
is
I
strong.
Also said I think his name is actually Portman. But I heard Morgman, so that's what I had written down.
They, yeah, I feel like they changed his about four times.
I agree.
Mormon, Morgman, Porgman, and then finally Portsman.
Right.
And then Pac-Man.
And then Pac-Man.
Lincoln, you might have missed it. That was why there was that scene where he was walking down, eating all those ghosts down the hallway. One hallway of pipes and went, waka, 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 waka. Well, it's time for
which
my...
one of us did a better Pac-Man impression?
Yeah, did you hear both?
I don't know if I heard John's for sure. I don't think I heard Lincoln's.
So okay,
I'll give you one more taste. Bubble, 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 bubble.
All right, hang on, John. We gotta go side by side here.
Waka 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 waka. You don't have to deliberate this much. Lincoln's was dog shit. What are you talking about? Have you ever heard Pac-Man, Lincoln? Do you know who Pac-Man even is?
Yeah, yeah, he sounds like this.
What the fuck was that?
Bubble, 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 bubble,
what's
bubble,
a bubble, 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 bubble? What are you, fucking what, early
are you 2000s? Playing Pac-Man?
What?
I didn't know you were playing Pac-Man. You got to focus on the podcast, John.
I'm playing Pac-Man.
John, that was the wrong video game. John, the wrong video game.
Oh, no. Oh, no. When are they making a Pac-Man movie? That's my question.
They've already made one.
Isn't it called Pixels?
Yeah.
No, that's not a Pac-Man movie. That is a movie with Pac-Man. That's completely different. Anyway, it's time for my pre-Find Your Funny. Lincoln, did you have a little song? You did a little song. I liked it.
Find Your Funny.
All right, I didn't like it as much as I thought I did. Yep, so I called this game, Am I Broken or Prepared for the Apocalypse? And I have three truths that are none of these are jokes. These are all 100% true in my life, and I want you to tell me if they're an example of me being a broken man or prepared for the apocalypse. Truth
is there,
number
is
one.
There a both option?
There's a both option if you really have to be, but I would like one side or the other.
Okay.
Truth
okay.
Number one, I have already decided to take over a Costco on Infection Day. That's my plan. That's what will happen.
I think that's broken man, because that's everyone's first thought is to go to Costco. Oh, no. And so eat
that's
like
crushing
that Costco will be a bloodbath when the when Infection Day hits.
It's a really haunting sentence. I liked that a lot. Okay. All right. That's fair. I'll give you that. Preston, thoughts, any opinions?
You know, I had the same initial thought as Lincoln as, yeah, that's what everybody is going to do. But in some ways, that makes me think that you haven't thought about it enough to be broken. So I'm going to go with just prepared for the apocalypse.
But ill-prepared is what you're saying.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're definitely not prepared for it. But
is there any chance that that's everyone's thought And because of that, everyone will also think, ah, everybody's going to be at Costco. And then no one will be at Costco, and it's just me at Costco.
Except well, here's that's what everybody's well... going to say is that, oh, everybody else is thinking about going to Costco, so nobody else will go to Costco except for me. Is what everybody
you can play,
else
you can play this game
ever.
Over and over again.
But then, yeah, they're going to think that,
in the
oh,
end,
because everybody else is thinking about it, and everybody else is
John,
thinking that everybody else... Yeah, what's up?
How many white moms are you prepared to fend off defending
Lincoln.
Your Costco?
You know what? I'll actually throw an additional fun fact into this game. I'm prepared to kill every mom I see.
Damn.
Okay, go so to I'm fact number two now, please.
This All got right, dark.
Fact number two. Fact number two, it's going to get darker. If a guy's tweaking out and holding a human arm and just like making kind of sounds, he dies. He's going to die. I'm going to shoot him. There's no question about that. It does not have to be in an apocalypse. It's just if I see that and he's holding a human arm, I'm going to kill him. I'm pretty sure.
That one, again, is broken, man, because I'm not really sure you've thought out the logistics of actually having to take another person's life.
Well,
like, are you
going to
strangle him?
Three.
What are you going
to
do? Oh, great.
I'm going to suplex him over a building.
Okay, great. Then apocalypse, then. I changed my mind.
You know, I'm also going, I got to go broken man on this one.
All right, it's fine. This is a judgment I've prepared myself for. I'm untouchable in this moment. Fact number three. If you are, assuming we're in a zombie apocalypse, if you are bit by a zombie, I will shoot you immediately. I do not care. And then I understand that that's kind of the general consensus. My wife and I have had a discussion about this. And we have an agreement. This is not, again, not a joke. This is the truth. In the zombie apocalypse, if she gets bit, I love her more than anything in the world, more than I can possibly fathom, and I will kill her immediately, instantly, because that is the right thing to do.
You know what I would say? I'd say, I agree. You are prepared for the apocalypse.
Thank you.
That's what gets them every time. Is like
that's what gets
oh, but
them every
my wife
time.
Is still in there. She's still in there somewhere. No, she's
not.
Not
in there. She's not in there, and
she never
has been since the bite. It's fine. It's okay.
Is your wife a little bit worried, like she's going to get really sick, and her skin's just going to get one shade too pallid, and you're just going to you're going to walk just silently walk into the other room and return with a shotgun?
It would not surprise me if that was a fear of hers. Yeah, no, that would make sense.
Well, when you put it like that, broken man for sure. Although, up until that point, yeah, I prepared for the apocalypse 100%.
I'm going to take that as a prepared for the apocalypse. I love it. What a fun series.
Great.
Of
let's
games
talk about Doom.
Let's talk about Doom.
Okay. There's one moment where they're going down the dark hallway for the first 40 fucking minutes of this movie. And then there's a scene where they see the like twitchy gone mad guy and they just turn the lights on. Right then.
Right.
And you go, oh, you could have just turned the lights on this whole time.
Yeah.
There was just a switch on
yeah,
the wall.
They just were like, we want to keep it dark. It's spooky. I like it spooky. It's vibey.
It's vibey. Yeah, they wanted to murder in the dark. They're like, let's do it all nighter, guys.
I saw that scene where they're walking down the hallway. And the first time I saw it, I was like, wow. The pipe budget on this must have been insane. And then, Lincoln, you're 100% right. It's the same set. They spin it around and around. And I was like, oh, the pipe budget on this was extremely minimal. I could make the pipe budget. I could afford the pipes.
One very large pipe.
It was a big pipe, big series of pipes, and that's all they needed. They needed like 12 feet of pipe, and we're good.
So the other – something else that – I want to talk about is, does it feel like this movie is going through the motions of a horror movie with no real commitment to being scary?
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. This movie, I think by the time they figured out where they were going, they were like, oh, but we do have to get there. So they were like, okay, some people walk around and they get caught and there's some
and it's
fun
like scary
alien
or whatever.
Bits. Yeah, it's like spooky. It's, you know, it's creepy. I think by the time they get to the scene in the holding cell where there's like the rumble in the holding cell, I think that's when they figured out, I'm not sure we ever wanted to be scary. I think we just wanted to make our own movie.
Yeah, the rumble in the holding cell was pretty freaking sweet, wasn't it?
It was so sick.
I totally thought that Marie, the first time he got punched and his face spun around, I was like, oh, he's down for the count. That's his death scene right there. We're going to cut away. And he gets back up.
Yeah,
and he punches
another,
the
like,
alien back.
Minutes.
And it keeps going. Yeah.
He gets
that moment is definitely.
He stabs him. It's insane.
Yeah. And on the same note, it goes through the motions of a Aliens type movie or like a Jurassic Park 2. With like corporate greed, and we got to protect the work that we did here. We can save disease, but again, it doesn't feel like it commits to the bit at all because the movie promptly forgets about everything until the very moment that it's needed again.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I feel like I think that this is a case of a movie that has 4 or 5 screenwriters that each thought the villain was going to be a completely different character and thing. And the first screenwriter was like, oh, obviously it's a Doom movie. The aliens, the weird, like, psycho freaks are going to be the villain. Mm-hmm. And then the second screenwriter was like, maybe the villain is more amorphous. Maybe it's more a corporation. And then the third one was like, it's The Rock.
It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
And he got in there, and they were like, hey, can you punch up this script? And he was like, I'm going to change your whole shit. And they were like,
okay.
We don't really have time. And he's like, it's okay. I'll start in the maybe back half of the second act. It's fine.
Also, this movie has Rosamund Pike in it, and I have no idea what her role in the story is.
Mm. Oh, I'd like to talk about them real quick. I know that we're yeah. I don't know if we're in our just talk about the movie phase. Did we do a find?
Oh, we
have
are.
We found our funny?
100% in there. Well, I have a proper find your funny, but it would feel weird if we did it this close to the other two previous
okay,
Find Your Funnies,
right.
Which ended up being the length of a full Find Your Funny.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Can we talk about those two? Because I refuse to accept that it's not something in one of the games that they're brother and sister, because they are the sexual tension between Rosamund Pike and I can't think of
Carl
his name
Urban.
To save my life. Hell yeah, Carl Urban. Yeah, Dredd himself.
Reaper. Carl Urban.
The sexual tension between her and Dredd is so, it's so tight. It's so big. And then she keeps being like, come on, bro. And I'm like, that's.
Come on, Aomer.
Some stuff
my
happened
like,
that we
right,
really probably
right
don't want to talk
beginning,
about.
He like makes some joke like, oh, she's my sister. And I thought it was a joke. I was like, oh, ha ha.
Yeah, I thought so too.
It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's like.
No, they have the same last name and everything.
Yeah, no, that's just the truth. I was like, I thought that this was going to be some like, oh, lost love, or which makes more sense, or like something that would give us some sort of romantic thing, because I assumed that's what they were trying to do. Nah, just brother and sister that definitely did some stuff that they don't talk about anymore.
Hey guys, just real quick, I have to Google Lord of the Rings. Just to make sure that I said the right name, because I referred to Carl Urban as Aomir before, and I'm like really freaking out that I got it wrong. So just one second.
Yeah, okay, you take your time. While Lincoln's working on that, Preston, what else do we know Carl Urban from? He was in Dredd. He was in that Thor movie where he played the one guy with the guns. He was in, I believe, a different Thor movie as a different guy, I think.
Probably. Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Wait, he's
Bones.
In Thor? He is an excellent Bones, by the way.
He was in Ragnarok. He was a great Bones. Lincoln, you can't get distracted. This isn't a you conversation. You're Googling your...
Sorry.
Your thing.
I'm back.
I believe Carl Urban was in that Total Recall.
Oh, guys.
Or maybe
breathe
that was...
a sigh of relief. It was Aomir. We're good.
Oh, good. Whew, man, that was close.
Oh,
and now
so
that I'm
glad.
Thinking about it, that wasn't.
We were all really sweating.
That wasn't.
Sweating bullets over here for you. Oh, edge of our seat.
Oh, he was in Almost Human.
Yeah, I was thinking of the wrong guy. That's not Carl Urban. That's
not.
No. The guy who's in Total Recall remake. He's an Irish guy. Now I can't think of his name.
The Penguin.
Yeah, the Penguin.
Oh, what is that guy's name?
Well, now I'm Googling.
He's in Minority Report.
Yeah. Maybe. Is he?
If he's a penguin, he is. Unless you're thinking of Minority Report when you imagine Total Recall.
I don't think I was. Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell, the penguin himself.
Also okay, in Bruges.
We're really, I think, pleased by Doom on a very deep level for this podcast. Like, I think we like Doom a lot. And
yeah,
one of my biggest complaints is that in the original Doom game, he is going into hell to kill all the demons, and uh-huh. this had almost no trace of that.
There was almost nothing. There was the one guy who kept calling them demons, and he cut himself. A thing yeah. that I thought was going to be important. Also a thing that I thought, because of the timing, I thought his character trait was that he cut himself anytime he messed up. So I thought he kicked Me the too. Barrel down the stairs, and he was like, all right, yeah. time for my penance.
That's what my note has. I thought that he was like that hardcore of a Marine, but it was because he said Jesus.
Yeah.
And so he carved a cross in. And the movie, like, screams to a halt to let that happen in front of you and then does absolutely nothing about it later.
Yeah, no, it lives in that moment. It's for what reason? I guess so that we have that shot where the arm goes up. I actually don't know
I guess.
Why we did that.
I don't know either. Well, he also like kills himself instead of turning into a demon.
He does.
But that even that's
it's
really
you get
unclear.
The really cool shot of him standing up and like crossing himself.
And then smashing his head
glass.
Against the window.
It's just for that one
shot.
We're
at the risk of doing another thing we did in Constantine, which is maybe fundamentally misunderstanding Catholicism, but I wouldn't that send him to hell? Am I wrong about this?
He'd rather be a human in hell than a demon in hell, I guess.
I suppose. Anyway, Lincoln, you were talking about connecting this to the first Doom, which I was a little bit. Until the end, until that third act, I was a little bit bummed that it wasn't the real weird dungeon-y aesthetic with all the crazy, like, weird bricks and shit and weird monsters. That was a yeah. bummer to me.
That's it?
Well, I don't know. That is it. I guess
I really thought...
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about homework at this point, because my introduction to Doom as a concept was because of this podcast, so...
Yeah, let's talk about homework. How did playing Doom go for you guys?
Not well.
What was the experience?
You know,
that's
I,
it.
I loaded.
What did you play?
So I tried. I think two of the original, like the two of the DOS emulators.
Okay.
And then one of another one. The other, I think it was like the Nintendo 64 version. I couldn't figure out how to shoot. Died immediately. Hated it. This was after I tried one DOS emulator, and no enemies ever spawned, and I couldn't figure out how to get out of the first room. So I tried the other one, died immediately because I couldn't figure out what key to shoot. So I went back to a different MS-DOS emulator, and the same thing happened.
Okay.
I couldn't get out of the room, and no enemies ever spawned. That is my
So you think maybe you're just terrible at this game?
Lincoln, I never said that I wasn't terrible at this game.
I know, but you're acting like I wonder. I have not played the original Doom. I've only played like later versions of Doom, but I'm pretty sure the first room is like a puzzle box and you have to get out of it to go to the room where enemies are in.
You know, that would make sense, and that would also make sense why I didn't find the way out of the room, Lincoln.
Yeah, John, Brent, how about you?
He's bad at puzzles. Okay, so I went through a really interesting process because my computer is old. So I opened up a series of emulators and tried to find a bunch of different versions. I finally found a version of the original Doom, and so I don't know if it's a puzzle box because I didn't have any problem because there was a big fucking gaping open door that I walked through. I don't know, Preston, if you just didn't turn around or what, but it was pretty easy to get out of if I played the same thing as you. However, I recorded a little video, and I'm just going to play the audio for you guys, because this is how it sort of sounded playing the game.
2 frames a second, that's what we get. I just want to kill one thing. That's my only goal at this point, is I need to kill a something. Oh?
I don't know if you can hear that cracking sound.
Pick up picked up bullets. That's good. I'd like to use those bullets. This is a nightmare to get through.
So that was my experience playing Doom. And then after that, I was like, you know what? I owe it to Lincoln. I owe it to myself to try a different version of Doom. So I tried to find Doom 3, a newer and heftier version of Doom. And I waited for that to load for 45 minutes, and then I played Mario. So that was fun.
That's pretty good. Okay. Yeah, that seems like a really fun experience for both of you. I'm so glad you did it. For me.
I enjoyed it immensely.
And
were you familiar with Doom bring us up to this point?
No.
Me?
Yeah. Like, what got us to this moment? Of all exclusively enjoying this film.
Well, I had played the Doom remake that came out in like 2016 or 2017. Okay. And I loved playing. It's a great game. It was super fun. And then I learned that they made a Doom movie, and I looked at the cast, and then I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes score and said, this has to be it.
This is the one. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And that brings us to our proper Find Your Funny, which has no jingle because we're more classy than that. Mm. I have invented a new game that's going to be way harder than the previous game.
It had better be, because that game was dog shit.
Hot garbage.
This game is called Doom or Do Not.
I'm sorry, Lincoln, did you just say Dune or Do Not?
I said Doom or Do Not, but that is going to come in later.
That's
I've
good.
Gone
you
to IMDb.
Dune, you have said Dune a couple of times. I just wanted to point that out.
Yes. I have accidentally said Dune because it has to do with my game. It's been on my mind.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have nothing
this
to do
game,
with your
though,
game that it's been on your mind. I just want to... Let's clarify that.
Like
yeah,
Doom.
Dune is always on my mind, no matter what. Anyways, this game is called Doom or Do Not.
Okay.
And what it is I've gone to IMDb to their user reviews of movies, and I've sorted by least helpful.
Okay.
So I haven't sorted by like most negative reviews or most positive. I've sorted by lowest rated, like other people have rated this review poorly.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to
so
read
excited.
Each of you gets one. I have nine. We're not going to do all nine probably.
We'll
gonna
see.
Read
this
you
sounds
one.
Fun so far.
And you have to decide whether or not it is from Doom or for Dune.
Okay, I like this.
Okay, let me look through.
Can I suggest an alternate title?
Yeah.
Is it too late to change to kind of chop and screw the title? I was
no,
thinking maybe...
No, just go for it.
Maybe we could do Doom or Dune Not?
I considered it, but I think Do Not is like, it's like just close enough that you still kind of hear it.
All right. Okay. All right. I accept that, even if it's wrong.
Okay. Preston, I'm going to have you go first. Here is the first one. So basically, you just have to say Doom or Dune.
Sorry, which Dune
this
is
a
this?
Terrible
is that important?
It's I've chosen ones from both the 1984 one and the 2021
okay,
Dune.
Okay, cool.
And if you can get that, too, that's bonus points.
Okay, excellent.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, here's option number one. This is a terrible movie with a good cast. The acting is horrible. If you like brown and black movies, this is for you.
Ooh. Ooh.
Very hard to follow. Fell asleep four times trying to watch, and when I woke up, it was the same nothing each time. Bad costumes. Every scene looks the same. Don't waste your time.
Damn.
Holy shit, Lincoln, this is a good fucking game. This could be either one.
Oh, man.
You know what's the dumbest thing? I literally have to have a spreadsheet, because if I didn't have like columns with color coding, I wouldn't be able to tell which reviews these movies were for.
Oh man.
You know, I kind of want to flip a coin here, honestly.
Just choose one.
You know
yeah.
what? Okay, go you know, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go Dune.
Okay.
And I'm going to go the new Dune for
okay.
the good cast and the falling asleep multiple times.
You are correct.
Wow. Holy shit. Holy fuck.
You get 2 points. Okay, John, here's your turn.
Oh, God. Okay. I forgot I was going to have to play this game. Fuck. All right. I'm ready.
Okay, here's your next one. A screenplay that feels incomplete at best, okay. Bad acting, bad or no direction is what sums up cinema's latest slap in the face. This film has no patience, no intelligence, no subtlety, and no respect for audience. The attempt at a theme feels forced and is embarrassing.
Oh, man. All right. I can rule out New Dune. That I'm taking out. Because I think if they're going to use the word cinema, they're going to like the New Dune. Or at least they're going to say, like, didn't work for me, but I can understand how it's well shot. Or something like that. This seems like it's a... it seems like it's a real review. Like, not just some random guy who is like, I don't know, I saw this. It seems like somebody who watches movies. Cinema's latest slap in the face feels early 2000s to me. I'm going to say Doom.
Correct.
Yes!
I'm glad you're getting these right, but I'm also glad that they're kind of difficult. I'm glad that you're both having to think about it a little bit.
This is tough.
Lincoln, this very makes up for your previous game.
Oh good.
Oh yeah, by
okay,
far.
Preston, here is your next here is your next one. Here's
yeah,
your
we
next
go until
review.
Somebody loses.
Okay, great. The review of this gobsmack must only contain these words: awful, abominable, cheap, naive, sick, stifled, skewed, lopsided, nauseating, poor paced, badly filmed, wrongly cast, terribly silly, shallow, and stupid to the point of being outright squeamish.
Wow, light a fire under him. Holy shit.
I love that review begins, the review of this can only contain these words. And then he gives us like a pretty healthy word bank to choose.
Can you imagine making a movie for its bare minimum 6 months, probably a year, and then... this is what someone has to say about it. You've poured your heart and soul into it.
Someone writes a fucking Dr. Seuss poem about your movie. Like, okay, Preston, what do you think?
Man. It's either... I'm gonna go Doom on this one.
I am so sorry. That is from Dune 1984.
I was right. Okay, all right. Now I gotta go so that Preston doesn't just fall out and I take the win automatically. I have to win.
Yeah,
this is
last
true.
One.
This is true.
Here's your review, John.
Okay.
Bad direction, mm-hmm. Bad casting. And you know there are problems when you need 2 rewrites of the screenplay. This is what comes from nepotism in the film industry. The dialogue is stilted. Some of the acting is outrageously bad. I'm sure there are those who think this is outstanding, but as far as I'm concerned, it's as torturous as watching paint dry.
Ooh, all right. For several reasons, I'm going to go Denis Villeneuve's Dune.
And you take the title. You are
yes!
correct.
Yes! I'm so
what,
proud of
what
myself.
What tipped you off?
It was the nepotism and being boring. Those were the two that I was okay. Like, I felt strongly.
Yeah, there you
wow,
go.
Wow, that's a game, Lincoln. That's better than any of the games we've done. I relinquished the crown. I win this crown, but in return, I take my crown of having best game, and I give it to you.
Yeah, it was actually really fun to compile this. And there's okay, and now that the game is over, I just want to give you some highlights from reviews and I'll tell you what they're from.
Perfect.
Okay, this is a review from Doom. This one goes, "Is there a story? I think there is, but it was too vague to bother with. And as for the characters, just who was who and what were their names?" And I think the movie's pretty clear about what their names are.
Yeah, they have a scene about that. And most movies don't have a scene where they're like, this guy is Doug, this guy is Craig, this lady is Jessica.
And the end of that same review says, This film just sort of began, and after a couple hours, it finished, much to my relief.
I actually could have used that in Dune. I could have used a scene where they're like, all right, here's who this is. Here, like at the beginning of a big comic book storyline, like an Avengers versus X-Men.
Oh, you mean like the opening monologue in the 1984 Dune?
I do mean that, except I want pictures of the people, and I want them to be like...
Oh, you mean like the end of that same movie, where they have
the credits, but not the beginning.
I do. On a movie like Dune, I do, because I still don't know who Duncan Idaho is. I could not tell you.
Actors giving you a good smile in costume.
I would like that, like a Friends intro. I want like a, ha ha, it's me, Patrick Stewart. And it's me, the little elf man. I can't remember his name.
I can't even either. Don't worry about it.
Get stuck on it.
Nope. Yeah. Here's a review from Dune 1984. It says, the acting was dreadful and the dialogue was worse. I have seen most of the cast in other films where they are actually permitted to act, which is all just as well, or I would have grown up thinking that they were all overblown second-rate hams. And then the final one says, this is the Dune review, 2021. In my life, I have never walked out of a movie screening, even for films that aren't enjoyable. However, even as an avid movie lover, I just couldn't watch this movie to the end.
Ow.
That makes me angry in a different direction, but hey, whatever. We found our funny, and now, guess what, Lincoln? You found our angry, so that's exciting. Angry doesn't show his face in this podcast very often.
Yeah, so what is left to even say about this movie?
Oh man. I mean, I think there's a lot of interesting like quotes, but my favorite is just when The Rock walks into a room and he goes, "Big fucking gun." I like that. And
I do
he
like
walks
that
around.
Scene.
And there's, you like, know, a solid 30-second sequence.
One thing I was very disappointed about is that they make a big deal out of The Rock getting the big fucking gun. And then I think he shoots it all of
once. And then
he
uses it twice.
Yeah, he uses it twice and on nothing.
Yeah, both times he just melts a wall.
Which, cool effect. That's great, man. But, like, explode an
alien. Yeah, it
does
look quite good.
That.
Yeah. Or have your protagonist get the gun.
Or your protagonist has to fight the antagonist for the big fucking gun.
Or with the big gun. Either one is good.
John, while we're talking about great quotes, I do love when Rosamund Pike's character says, "You could have been holding a microscope instead of a sniper scope." And I was like, bars.
Got him. Got his ass.
But then he gets her ass right back and he goes, "If our parents are so smart, then why are they so dead?"
You know, they have a very, like, I was about to say a good tete-a-tete, but it's a very awkward and poorly scripted tete-a-tete.
Yeah, it is. And it's just, and you are both right that it is filled with sexual tension that has no business being there. And also, would have had some business being there if they just hadn't gone out of their way to emphasize that they were siblings. They could have
just not
mentioned
siblings.
It, and we would have had no reason to guess that. Like,
No.
Why do they spend time pointing out their siblings and spend time developing their romantic relationship for each other?
And it would have made it a much better, I think, ending if he was like, because he's holding her all romantic like in the elevator. I love my sisters. I really do. They're wonderful people. No world. There isn't a world where that's how I would ever lift anyone that isn't my wife. That's insane. Like.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
That's unhinged. I don't care how injured you are.
I will say, I a lot of times judge movies based on how many seconds go by after the climax of the movie happens. And this movie is pretty high on the list of, it's like less than a minute. It's like,
it really is
40 seconds maybe after the climax of the movie that the movie ends. And it's like, great. You just ended it as soon as it could have ended.
And what's the last line? He says something about, like, we're going to the surface, and then...
I'm on my way, or something.
No, we're almost home. I think it's something home.
Oh. It's something like, here we go, and then it's a Mario movie is the sequel. He says, let's go! And then it's...
Yeah, it's in a shared universe with all the other video game adaptations. Okay, I think it's just about time for equivalent punishment. Yeah, or actually, I want, yeah, we're good. Equivalent punishment.
What else would we talk about? Like, we've already said that the third act is the best. We've, can we, okay, do we have any other thoughts real quick on the oneer where he's being a video game? Did we all go through the same, like, thought process of thinking this is kind of cool, this is dumb, this is extremely, extremely cool?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think it was exactly the right length. I think if it was any longer, it would have gotten old. And if it was any shorter, I don't think it would have been as impressive.
I agree. All right, so we really didn't have... We all agree. All right, yeah.
I maybe just wish there was one shot where he gets, like, knocked down and it comes around and looks back at him for a second and then it switches back. I think that should have been earlier because I took the scene... Like, I took that whole sequence much more seriously after they did that. Like, it was like, oh, somebody actually thought about this, not just like... what if we did a little first person thing because video
it wasn't
game.
Just well, obligatory
yeah exactly
that scene. I think maybe why it's so astounding though is like doing first person in real life is really difficult, and doing that long of an unbroken take with the kind of visual effects that they had access to is really difficult. And so you can see all of these like creative, adaptive, we're making it work decisions that were happening, and all of a sudden it becomes a movie.
Yeah,
it stops feeling like it's going through the motions, and all of a sudden, oh, we are forced to make all these decisions in order to get this scene to work. So now this scene is actually motivated by something. Even if the motivation is as dumb as we want it to look like the video game, it's just exhilarating to be in this kind of wet, gross slosh of a movie, and then all of a sudden, all these decisions are being made, and all this like impressive, interesting, cinematic things are happening all at the same time.
And that's enough juice to kind of make the rest of the movie good, I think. Like that,
yeah.
There is something about that.
The third act is the final fight is great.
It is the final fight. I will go on a stand. The final fight is better than probably 40% of current Marvel movie final fights.
Yeah, the final fight is on like Blade levels of fun.
I thought about Blade. Yeah, it's just a blast, and not Blade Trinity. Blade, some of the good Blade.
Yeah, the first two Blades, the good Blade. Blade 1 and Blade 2.
Blade and the Blade.
Blade Returns.
We can't get started on this.
Blades.
Blade. Two Blade.
Two Blade, two Furious.
Blade, : is Furious.
Blade the Furious. Blade 2 the Squeakquel. Do we want to do cinematic equivalent?
Yeah, I think so.
I've got one right off the bat. I think that this is the cinematic. Go. This is the cinematic equivalent of eating a Subway sandwich, and it starts and it's just white bread and tuna, and then halfway through, somehow, not even halfway, the last third of the sandwich is like that really good herb cheese bread and like solid roast beef. And it's twist.
Still really hard to bite through, but it tastes a lot better.
It's a turn, and you're like, I wasn't prepared for this. It tastes kind of weird after what I've been eating, but you know what? I'm into it.
I'm gonna stick with food this... here. This movie is the cinematic equivalent of you making a soup, and the first night it's kind of mediocre, and then you eat it for lunch the next day, and it's like the most tasty soup you've ever had in your life.
Oh yeah,
but it was actually because you were just really hungry because you didn't eat breakfast that day. This movie is a cinematic equivalent of coasting down a long gravel driveway on a bicycle when you're a kid, and just knowing that a single wrong turn will send you careening into Scrape Town.
This is the cinematic equivalent of wandering the desert for like a half a day, and then somebody's like, "Do you want some water?" And you're like, "Yeah, I'd take some water. That sounds nice."
That's it. Okay, great. This is the cinematic equivalent of watching a fireworks show from a window, where you're like, "I'm sure this would be more fun if I was closer, but it's not worth getting out because it's like kind of unexpectedly chilly."
Yeah, and it's almost done.
And it's almost done, anyways. This is a cinematic equivalent to seeing that it's raining and being like, oh, I do not want to be outside in the rain. And then as you're like walking to your car, it's not as rainy as you thought it was. You're like, oh, this is not too bad.
I don't think you're giving this movie the appreciation it deserves.
I'm trying to embody the, like, it could be better, but I still like it.
I don't know if it could. I think if you made it good, it would be bad again. I think if you made the good version of this movie, I wouldn't like it. This is like going to McDonald's and you just really, really fucking wanted McDonald's. And at first you kind of feel that shame of eating McDonald's. And then halfway through you're like, you know what? Fuck it. I like this. I'm into this.
Is this the equivalent of eating like a whole bag of Chex Mix in one sitting and like, I fucking deserve this?
This is the cinematic equivalent of eating a bag of Cheez-Its like The Rock. You're just eating an entire box of Cheez-Its.
Absorbing a box of Cheez-Its into your gullet.
I think... Oh, I just totally lost... Hang on. I totally lost it. Damn it, fuck. Good one.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll wait. Lincoln, I can see your cogs are rolling, gone. Lincoln. Don't...
No. What? I can't say anything?
No, we need Preston's.
It's gone. I started thinking about McDonald's ones, and now my original one is just gone.
I understand.
This is the cinematic equivalent to a sparkly purple electric guitar that costs $70 on Amazon.
That's the positivity we're looking for.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that's it. I think we end there. That's beautiful.
No. I got one more. This movie is the cinematic equivalent of... like opening a soda and then forgetting about it and coming back to it, where it's not quite warm and it's not quite flat, so it's drinkable, but
wait,
it could be better.
Preston, is the conceit of that equivalent the fact that flat warm soda's like kind of good, like
I kind of
enjoy drinking that?
yeah 100%.
is this a crime you're admitting to us in this moment?
This is a crime I'm admitting, and I'm desperately seeking confirmation from either of you regarding flat soda.
I mean, I guess while we're on this topic of admitting crimes, this is the cinematic equivalent of breaking into your grandma's house and stealing all her money. Right, guys? Am I right, boys?
No. And then buying a fucking sick motorcycle.
All right, well.
I want to add one more mini segment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what this podcast was missing, is more segments.
When we started this great podcast, when we started a different podcast that we're never going to talk about again, we kind of each were subconsciously making a point.
It's called Ape Shit Blues. You can look it up if you want.
Well, we used to kind of make a point of organically trying to come up with an alternate title of the movie for our podcast.
Oh yeah!
While we were recording the podcast, I just want to
wholeheartedly forgot
test the waters. Yeah, is it Doom or Do Not?
It probably is Doom or Do Not. Honestly, it's either that or Doom wetter than you expected it to be.
Yeah, or like the magical world of fluid simulation.
Doom the Rock Johnson is good.
Doom the Rock Johnson's good. Doom another day.
No, we can't do that again.
Doom another doom.
Doom
Dwayne can
doom,
act
do, what if we,
with three question marks?
Dwayne can act? What if we just call it, get
with
a little more existential
marks.
With
the
it?
The question
and
marks
call
is
it,
the important part about that.
All right, with the question marks, Preston, what if we just call it
thank
doom,
you.
Doom, Doom, Doom? Instead of dying another, Doom another doom, it's just Doom, Doom, Doom.
What if we just called it How You Doom?
How You Doom, Joey's version.
Joey's version? That's pretty good. And then I think Preston, the first your title is more of the first line of the episode description. Dwayne can act? And then
the rest of the
description of the episode.
Oh yeah, okay. I mean, while we're here, do you guys want to talk about our SEO plans for this one or any other?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Business? Does anyone listen to this? Oh, this is actual things we need to say at the end of these. Thank you for listening to this. You can email us at nprphpodcast@gmail.com. Please email us movies you want us to watch and also hate mail.
Daily observations throughout the day.
Yeah.
Comedy bits. Like, If you email us at all, we are guaranteed to read it.
It's going to happen. Unless it is, like, legally questionable, it's going to get on the podcast.
Yeah, it's going to get on the show. We will read our mail. That's the joy of having a small podcast who never interacts with their audience at all.
No, it really has one. Whose turn is it? Is it Preston's turn?
It is my turn.
It is Preston's
turn. He said with too much glee. Wait, oh no.
You know, there were two directions that I considered going with this choice.
Okay.
I feel the movie industry has gone sort of two directions with making films, and so it was a real debate in my mind which direction we should explore with our podcast, because if it's good enough for the movie industry, then clearly it's good enough for our podcast. The topic I decided that we should go, at least for this first direction, is exploring sequels and franchises.
Okay.
Because it seems like every movie has to get a sequel and has to spawn a franchise with 6 trillion other films.
Sure.
And I don't know if there's another film series at the moment that embodies this better than Mr. Snyder's Rebel Moon films.
Oh no.
Of course.
Preston,
in a joke is on you because I fucking have seen it already.
No, I think the joke is on you, Lincoln, because
sure
you're gonna have to watch it.
Ever saw coming. Your next movie will be Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. Simply because
I watched it 4 days ago.
Think that I was going to get to watch a Fast and Furious for this podcast. Oh, no.
You really did. You really had me on the Fast ropes and the Furious ropes for a while there.
But that is going to be the movie that we watch. Also, I don't know that we've done...
What's
I guess
homework?
We've done two different Blade movies.
No, we never did.
No,
we've
just
only
watched
done one
them
Blade
together.
Movie.
Yeah.
Really?
The second one's called Constantine, Preston.
That's right. That, you
Blade
know,
4
I
is
hate
Constantine.
That actually makes sense in my brain. I feel like that's the next movie we're going to watch.
It's Rebel Moon,
The Scar Giver. The Scarecrow.
The Ironmonger.
The Scrapmonger.
Rebel Moon, Scrappy Doo.
Well, that sucks. Thanks for that, Preston.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Do I have to watch it again?
Yes, Lincoln, you have to watch it again.
Okay. I didn't take notes the first time.
Exactly.
Preston, do we have homework?
No, of course not.
Yeah, Preston never assigns homework.
Your homework is watch Rebel Moon 1 again. Yay! Back-to-back, baby. Double feature.
I won't make you guys go through that again.
That's good. I wouldn't have done it. I'd love to hear it.
Well, thank you so much for listening to MPRPH, the Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour, hosted by the Evening Brothers. I have been Brother Lincoln. I could crash you from here.
I have been Brother John. We are the reinforcements. And Preston's laughing, so give him a second. Give him a moment.
Give him a minute.
Doesn't even have to be a movie that we've done.
Seriously? You're not even going to let me say my name?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Say my name. I have been Brother Preston.
I'm saying that we just don't have to do any version of what you want.
Are you done yet?
What? That was not a sentence, John.
I just wanted to interrupt him. I didn't have anything to say.
And I've been Brother Preston.
Goodbye.